Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Glad to have you listening. Mike Bell, I have to start the day by giving you credit. Usually I am pumping myself and saying, Nostradamus got it right again. But Mike Bell today, guys, is on it. And I'm talking about our Hawks. Just a little bit over a week ago, I said, oh, I'm worried. I don't know if we're going to be able to get in the playoffs. I don't know what's going to happen. And Mike said to me in his calm, cool, collected voice, calm down, Dukes. There's plenty of season left. And Mike, we've run off five in a row now. Five in a row.
Yeah, man. And last night it was funny because we were talking about the line. We never actually said to bet the game last night. And when we got up to kind of a sluggish start in the first quarter, I took to Twitter. I said, let the record reflect. We never said to take the Hawks minus 10. And then they went out like a 42-6 run. And then just like they should. So, yeah, man, beating an inferior opponent that's really struggling on the road with some banged-up stars and just not playing good basketball. So that's what you're supposed to do against a team like that. The big test coming up, we got the Celtics, but the Phoenix game next week will be a big one too because they're obviously the best team in the NBA.
It is, man, and that's a team that was right there with the chance to win it all last year. Chris Paul has been great again. You know, for everybody that thought the demise of Chris Paul was 3 or 4 years ago, they were wrong. That team is legit. Booker is legit. But we'll worry about them. You said it. Next week, let's win a couple of more games. Right. Let's beat the Celtics. Now, they're going to come in here rested. But to last night, Mike, the second quarter explosion. And I don't know if you could credit it to one play. I just felt like the Okongwu alley-oop dunk was the energy moment. And, Mike, how many times have we talked about energy with this team? Like, lack of energy on the defensive end. Or just coming into a game not having that kind of energy.
Yeah, man. And sometimes, you know, those moments, we joked around and we had some fun talking about Charlotte and Bridges. And that was a dunk that led to nothing because that game last spring, the next trip down the floor, Bogey hit a big three and we beat those guys. We won the game. But that was one that was kind of like accentuating a run. Big moment, big momentum. And that's what you can see sometimes with the big plays in the paint. Okongwu and a guy, everyone's asking us on Twitter, on the text line, what's the difference? Look, I don't know. I don't think everyone says that Cam was a good guy. And they liked him, but ever since Cam split, I don't know if there's any correlation or it's simply Okongwu is rolling and they're feeding off that. I know we talked about it today. Bo Morgan, our producer, said, has Trey really, has he upped his game or reamped it or rededicated? I don't know. All I know is, man, they're on a five-game heater. Let's stay with it.
I will say this. I do think, and I don't know if Trey upped his game. It is a great question because you look at the numbers, it's been pretty consistent. When they were losing, this is who he was. Now they're winning, and you go, wow, he's giving you 30 a night. Well, this is who he's been. But I do think Trey realizes, Mike, as much as any star in this league, when you're on a losing team, you don't get the love. Right. When your team is not playing well, regardless individually how well you might be playing, you don't get the love. And I said earlier this week, you know, give him some respect. The Eastern Conference Player of the Week again, and the numbers laid out and what he's doing and how special of a season he's having. But when you are losing, people don't pay attention like that. That's why the playoff run was so crazy, is we were winning series on top of the fact that he was putting up those kinds of numbers. Guys, if we lost to the Knicks and Trey did that, wouldn't have meant anything. It would not have meant the same. So I think, Mike, there is something to be said about the star. And again, I don't want to go too far with this saying, right, you know, upping his game, but he is playing at a different level now. I do think that is true.
Yeah, and last night, obviously, they had the game certainly in hand, as we said, a 46-17 score in the second quarter. And then, you know, John Collins, I mean, if you look at the scoring, it was really even. The bench, you know, got involved last night. I mean, we were talking about it for a number of games, Carl, only really using eight guys. Last night, it was like the full complement. You know, Bogey with 23 minutes and 18 points and looked good. And look rested, right? Looked healthy. Hadn't seen him in like, what, 3 weeks. Talked about Okongwu, 18. Everybody wants, I could have used more Okongwu. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's not a knock on Capella. We love Clint. But, man, is Okongwu on a run right now or what?
Oh! Yeah, he, and that's how I, that's what I did when he dunked that, that alley hoop. I was, oh, he has got an attitude, not in that negative way. He's got an attitude that makes you feel like he's all business. Matter of fact, let's hear from Okongwu. This is on Yeke Okongwu talking about the energy level. And he says, when we're winning, you can see the difference.
You know, definitely. When you, you know, string together a bunch of wins, obviously the energy is going to be different. You know, you just feel confident. You're going to believe that you're going to win every game. You know, we're, you know, 5 games strong right now, and we got to continue to keep it rolling.
Yeah, man, it's the good vibe right now, and everybody. And again, let's everybody in your car find something that's simulated wood. Everyone kind of healthy right now, Carl. So let's hope that stays the way it is. Lou had a good job off the bench last night. He had some good scoring. You know, we talked about Red Velvet, kind of a quiet night by his standards. Only it took 2 3-pointers, didn't make any, and had 8. But the bench, because the game was really taken over in the second quarter, you could use the bench too.
Are we a playoff team?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, we are technically from base of what we did last year, but I just think, and I don't think a team, Carl, will ever admit it, the coaching, management, and we'll ask, you know, Steve Coonan about it. We'll have fun with it on Friday. Did they feel that they could simply roll the balls out there, Carl, if they were next level and they didn't realize, as Trey gave us that soundbite, that the regular season is boring and you still have to put the work in? And maybe the light is going on about that.
I hope so, man. I really do. By the way, Lou, if you missed it last night, and again, you got to think now, this guy's been in the league, what, 16 years?
Right.
Lou got above the rim. Now, if you saw Lou in high school, he went to high school here in Atlanta, you know he could get up. You know he could do those things. Right. But he's a scorer, and that's where he's made his bread in the NBA. But he got up last night for dunks. And then, you know, you see Gallo go up. You had like an internal dunk contest going on between these two guys.
Yeah.
And their old heads, Mike. I mean, it was kind of fun.
I was just hoping Gallo didn't hit his head on the rim when he went for the reverse. You know, he takes it in back. Look out! It goes in backwards. But, I mean, look, Lou is 35 years old and 6'2". And so, you know, we always joke around about like the obligatory ESPN promo where the bench all goes, oh, no, he did! With the towel and all that. But if ever it was a time to do that, it was when Lou goes to the rack. Man, that was awesome.
It was. Here's Nate talking about seeing Lou Williams and Gallo dunking in games. Guys, it's not the norm.
I think there is some side stuff going on the bench. And, you know, I think a lot of our guys are challenging these guys and, you know, talking about they can't dunk. And, you know, so Gallo, you know, goes up and does a reverse tonight. Lou takes off and, you know, look like old Lou. You know, so it's good to see that they do have their legs. They finally got their legs, and you know, they can still dunk the ball.
Yeah, man, it's fun. And again,
it's almost like Nate was going to say, "It's all fun and games." So somebody blows a knee out, landed funny. No, come on.
Somebody gets hurt.
I mean, but they were having fun last night.
Atlanta's bench outscores Sacramento's backup 70-24. So here's the question. And Chris, I want to get a poll question up in regards to our Hawks, man, because to Mike's point, okay, 5 in a row. We said, let's run off 5, 6, 7, 8. We might do that, and all of a sudden might be 500, like Mike said, and get to Phoenix, and who knows what happens that night. But if you beat the Suns, then all of a sudden I think it gives you a different level of confidence. But, Mike, do you still want this rotation? You brought it up yesterday. Gallo, how do you want to do this? Because after last night, I'm seeing Bogey, and I'm like, damn, now that's the Bogey we signed. That's the guy we wanted to see
right when
we signed him. Come in and deliver buckets. What do you want to see?
Do you want to have Nate, you know, start with Bogey, and if Bogey's not feeling it, bring Herter in, and can Herter do that off the bat? I think we can see him do that.
I do too.
I don't think it's that complicated. I think that, you know, we sort of lock into like the prisoner of the moment thing where, oh, Herter's been on fire. Well, you know, Herter is getting paid good money, so there are expectations with Herter, but Bogey is the guy that should be starting if he continues to do what he's doing. I think the biggest thing for Bogey is, I think if you did a percentage-wise, I think he's been healthy 50% of his time here in Atlanta.
You're right.
Including the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and it hurt us. I mean, he was on a bum ankle or whatever it was at the time. Bogey scores 18 last night in his return from that knee injury, guys. Here's the other thing that we have to take into account. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.9. Radio station is 92.9 The Game. And stay up on everything that's going on. Follow us on the gram as well, guys, and across all social media platforms. Our team is finally healthy. So it corresponds, Mike, corresponds with Cam being traded, with everybody kind of coming back, and then we go on this run, so it looks weird because everybody now goes, it was Cam's issue, and it may not have been. It just may have been a health issue. We are finally healthy, and I think that's what we're seeing. Bogey last night can do this any night in the NBA. It's why we traded for him. This is who he's been, 18, 20 a night on any given night. He can fill it up. But when we didn't have that scoring, when we didn't have Okongwu's presence,
right.
All right, we're a different team. And that's really what this comes down to, in my opinion.
Or, you know, maybe just, you know, Cam was a colossal pain in the butt and nobody wants to talk about it. But I mean, but again, getting healthier.
Chris, what did John Collins say to us, Chris, on the show about Cam? We asked him about him, right? He didn't say that.
No. Everybody said it's all. I joked around with Kuhn, and I was like, "Well, Steve, the company line continues from everybody on the team that Cam Reddish was not a distraction," because apparently he wasn't. So maybe it's just a coinkadink, which is kind of interesting.
It is, man. We got plenty to dive into. Ross Tucker's on the way, and we talked to JC. I think it was almost 2 weeks ago now, and basically, you know, he laid out that Cam did it the right way. He wasn't a distraction. But, Mike, I don't know if we'll ever know. All I know is he's not playing in New York, and we're winning. That's what
Period.
I know right now.
And he's not playing in New York right now either.
So Ross Tucker's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL. Getting ready for the AFC, NFC championship games, guys. I think we're going to have a good weekend. Is it going to be as good as last weekend? That's hard to top. But I do think we're going to have a good weekend, Mike, when you talk about these games. I don't think there'll be tune outs and blowouts. God, I hope not, because that just makes championship weekend suck. But we're going to get Ross's opinion on the games. We'll find out what he thought. Last week, he was in Tampa, by the way, calling that game for Westwood One. And speaking of the NFL, there is a lot of news, guys, to get to. Coaching changes, and Mike, Ben Roethlisberger finally calls it quits. It's official. He is going to retire.
Yeah, I was just watching the NFL Network this morning, and they were showing the tribute video that Ben put out there, thanking everybody from the Rooney family to Bill Cowher to his family to the big man upstairs. No, I mean, you know, not Reggie Rouse, but God, and you're talking about all the guys and everybody that he's played with, and it was really classy for Ben, a dude that, let's be honest, Carl, he had some off the field stuff and kind of got his life back on track, and you know, and now it's going to be is there life after Ben up there in Pittsburgh?
What's crazy is how, and I just, and somebody explained this to me. I was having this conversation at a meeting today, and I was talking to some folks, and we were talking about all these coaching hires. And one of the guys at the meeting was Big Tigger. He's on our sister station, V103, and he was asking me about certain jobs. And right as we were talking, the Chicago job, right, gets filled. They fill it with D.C., former D.C. of the Colts. His name's Matt Eberflus. And he is a guy that's going to take over a team that has a young quarterback in Justin Fields. Not sure what offensive coordinator he's going to bring in, but everybody thought they might go offensive coordinator.
Right.
And, Mike, he didn't – you know, you look at this job, and then you go, okay, what about what the Broncos did and Nathaniel Hackett? And this is the conversation. And somebody just explained this to me. Because we have this conversation every year, and it's not necessarily black or white, but then when you get down to it, maybe it is black and white. A guy like Nathaniel Hackett didn't call plays in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur did. So, in essence, he was a figurehead, right? Very much so like a guy named, I don't know, Eric Bieniemy?
Mm-hmm.
With the Kansas City Chiefs, who is there, who's working with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So was Nathaniel Hackett with Aaron Rodgers. But yet he gets a job. I mean, I said I don't understand how you could look at that as apples and oranges when, in fact, it's apples and apples. Both guys are coordinators. Neither one are calling plays, but one guy gets a job and the other guy is considered either unqualified or I don't know. Somebody explain that to me.
I mean, he was a Jaguars offensive coordinator the year they had that run up there against New England, but, you know, it's been a couple of years since then, and so that's why I'm with you. I'm like, first off, you've got to get Justin Fields and that offense on track. I know, and this is, you and I talked about this last week. Teams always seem to go offense and then defense. They say he's got an organizational plan, Carl. He wowed them in the interviews. He's a leader. He's really, he commands the room. These are all the things I heard. Don't they say this about everybody who gets hired? But anyway, I would think you'd want to get that offense going, but they're going back. They think this guy can be a little bit like Lovie Smith was and the team that took him to the Super Bowl.
All right, guys, poll questions up about the Hawks. Do you feel like we got the right rotation in place to continue to make a playoff push? Go answer that question at Dukes and Bell 929. Yes, we're set. Maybe we need to see more. No, not the right mix. Or we need to make a trade. Go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. Ross Tucker's coming up.
You know, for Cam to really blossom, I feel like he needed to play more.
It is good to have you listening on a Thursday. We are going to continue to break down the AFC-NFC Championship games. Ross Tucker is going to join us here in just a moment. Poll questions up. A lot of guys hitting us up. Jimmy says, Dukes and Bell, no way, man. You got to keep Bogey coming off the bench in regards to our Hawks question, guys. And he says he adds a lot of juice to that second unit. And he can play more with the ball in his hands, which is interesting. He might be right about that. And uses mid-range game a lot more if he's coming off the bench. I asked Jimmy, I said, you don't want to start him? Don't you think we need that oomph?
Yes.
You know, that I'm not relying on Trey as much if Bogey is out there to start. And I'm with Mike. I think Herter coming off the bench might be the answer. No wrong answers, by the way. This is why we're talking about it, because our team is winning right now. We've went on a five-game win streak.
Now, again, it was tough to judge comparatively because Bogey was part of like that five-game losing streak before he went out. He was banged up. But, yeah, they're averaging about the same as Windows, like 14 and change right now as their average. But, you know, that'll go – usually that goes a bit higher. But I think – I mean, you could argue you could flip it either way. But I'd rather see Bogey – like, Bogey's paid to start and then, you know, could hurt her. But, again, Nate can go with the hot hand if he's feeling it certain – you know, I don't know why you're always locked in. I always think there should be more flexibility with it in the first place. Don't you? I mean, it's not like you got to carve it in stone.
No, you don't. I mean, it's like we said yesterday, whatever is working. Ross Tucker is here with us, and he is working, guys. And Ross is an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Ross, I want to start, man, with these coaching hires. Mike and I just were talking about this in our last segment. Okay, so what are the Broncos doing, and what are the Bears doing?
Well, let's start with the Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett is interesting because here's a guy that, you know, has not been calling the plays the last 3 years, but the Broncos clearly don't care, and I don't blame them. You know, while I do think that that can be part of an enticing package to bring a coach in as a head coach, I don't think that's the most important aspect of a head coach. What's happened, though, is so many of the things about being a head coach, people aren't really able to decipher. So what they hang on to is the one thing they know for sure, which is what kind of a play caller they are.
Right.
And then they always add, you know, the other duties on top of it, but it's like it's part of the reason why Arthur Smith got a job in Atlanta. It's like, okay, we know this guy can maximize some offensive skill and get out of it. That's the only thing we know for sure, but that's more than we know on these other guys. It, you know, it makes it hard for a guy like Mike Vrabel or whoever nowadays to get a head coaching job, even though I think Vrabel will be the coach of the year. I would also say, as it relates to Hackett, you know, it's just one game that I remember. But in 2017, I called the game when they beat the Steelers 45-42 in the divisional round of the playoffs. The Jags did. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the best games I've ever seen an offensive coordinator call. It was unbelievable. It's like he called a perfect game. And then the last part of it would just be this. I don't think Aaron Rodgers' connection with Hackett the last 3 years is a total non-factor. I don't think it's the primary reason, but it's not 0% either.
Right. I mean, nobody knows where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. Either way, he will bring his persecution complex with him. Do you feel that, I mean, there is some vibe there that Aaron Rodgers to Denver, I mean, should be talked about, and Devontae Adams as well, because they got a little bit of money and they might be a package deal.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think Aaron Rodgers is gone. I think he is going to believe that it's just not going to happen for him in Green Bay. And I think he's seen what happened with Tom Brady a year ago. I think he's probably making note of what's happening with Matthew Stafford right now in L.A. and the way those teams have been super aggressive with adding big-name free agents, Odell Beckham Jr., Von Miller, you know, Fournette and Gronk and Antonio Brown, everybody that the teams have added the last couple of years, I think he wants to go somewhere where he feels like they'll be all in, and I think he probably feels like that's the case in Denver. You know, Denver doesn't really need receivers, but it wouldn't hurt to have Devontae Adams, that's for sure. So, and there's a lot of reports or beliefs that is where he wanted to go last year and was hoping to go. So this only adds more fuel to that fire.
What about the Bears? We thought offensive coordinator type guy, simply because of Justin Fields, before we get into this weekend's games, AFC and NFC Championship, and they go defensive coordinator?
So two things about that I think are really interesting. Number one, if you remember, Matt Eberflus was Josh McDaniels' hand-picked defensive coordinator for Indy. And then McDaniels bailed.
Right.
So when McDaniels bailed, they already had Eberflus, so they just kept him. And now he's getting a head job, and Josh McDaniels can't even get interviews. It's actually fascinating if you think about it. And then as for Eberflus, look, he comes highly recommended. People like him, but you guys are exactly right. I mean, the reality is it feels like his tenure – will be characterized by how much they do or do not get out of Justin Fields. So his offensive coordinator hire becomes gigantic.
Right. And that was obviously part of the meeting, and I saw some of the stuff on NFL Network, and they were talking about, they just blew him away in the interview process. I don't know if he had like a PowerPoint or what. It's driveway.com bringing us our man, Ross Tucker, here our weekly visit. Do we get him biweekly? Nick, no, that's different. That's like Rolling Stone. We get him twice a week. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. But yeah, man, I just these hires, and he's a Marinelli guy. You know, he was with him in Dallas, and I guess, you know, the defense, they said they liked Lovie Smith. I'm trying to validate these hires. I just thought they might just once in a while talk about, you know, Dable. Now, I know that Dable's going to get a shot down in Miami, but that's a guy, when I see what he did with Josh Allen, that's the guy I would want to work with Justin Fields or a Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that. And it doesn't seem like Dable is even in the mix at all in Jacksonville. You know, there are reports now it might be Byron Leftwich and Adrian Wilson. I don't know what's going on there. Right. It sounds like Dable is heavily in the mix with the Miami Dolphins. I think that's the case with the New York Giants as well. You know, Dable is a guy that coached me in New England. I think highly of him. Mm-hmm. I think he would do a heck of a job. You know, that's the other thing, too. You know, he's maximized Josh Allen, and he deserves a ton of credit for that. He's coached Tua before in college, and you have to think, okay, well, maybe he can't bring Josh Allen with him, but at least we know he can maximize talent at that position. He's gotten the most out of Josh Allen as opposed to not enough out of him. And mm-hmm. So that's somebody I would have really thought hard about if I was the Bears, but I'm not the Bears.
Let's talk about these games, Ross. You were in Tampa last week. You said when you came on the national show, you were going to get a room, go back to your room, and watch the rest of the playoffs. Aren't you glad you did?
Unreal, right? Unreal. I could have maybe tried to catch a flight that night. Thank goodness I didn't. Just an incredible game. You know, selfishly, I knew I'd be on the sideline for the game, and I'd rather drive up to Buffalo than fly out to Kansas City. And I just can't imagine what the scene would have been like for a home AFC championship game in Buffalo against the Bengals. I also kind of like new blood, but the Chiefs earned it. The Chiefs won. I guess the part that bothers me is I feel like the Bills coaches blew the end of that game like four different ways, guys. I mean, number one, I know it's been talked about. You can't kick a touchback there. I strongly disagree. You have to kick, I would say, a mortar kick to the 6 or 7 yard line. There's a very small percentage chance the kid returns it for a touchdown. If he does, he does. But you got to take those 4 or 5 seconds off the clock. And I said that right away. I think Romo did as well. Then, why are they rushing 4 guys when you know Mahomes has to get rid of it in 2 seconds? You should have been rushing 2 guys, 4 guys deep, 5 underneath to make a play on the ball or tackle them sooner than they did. The other thing, the Bills were defending the sideline, like to not let the guy get out of bounds.
And they had timeouts.
They had 3 timeouts.
Yes, yes.
There was 13 seconds left. Why are you protecting sidelines? It's like the Bills only had one call for those kind of late game situations. It's crazy. And the other thing is this. You should try to hold the guys at the line of scrimmage. There is a rule that if there's multiple intentional penalties, the time gets put back on the clock and it's a 15-yard penalty. Never seen it called. And they're trying to get off the jam anyway. You're not going to actually be able to grab them. So they should have tried to grab them at the line. What's the worst thing that can happen? 5-yard penalty for holding first down? Well, you just took 4 seconds off, 5 seconds off. I think they screwed up at least 4 different ways.
Mm. It is Ross Tucker with us here, guys, on the waitfor.com hotline. Ross, just real quick, we got a couple minutes left. 49ers have really had the Rams' number. Carl brought this up yesterday. 6-game winning streak in the regular season. Do you see this one going down to the wire as far as in the NFC?
I do. I think it's going to be an awesome game. It's kind of hard to go against a team that beat the other one 6 times. It kind of feels like Shanahan has a Jedi mind trick on both Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay, the 2 guys he worked with in Washington. He wins more than his fair share of games against those guys. They clearly have the confidence and believe they've won the matchup up front when these teams play. I kind of like the Rams to win a close one, but I love the Niners getting the 3.5 points, as I said on the Even Money Betting podcast.
And Chiefs, Bengals, I think most of the country feels like this is probably the end of the road for the Bengals, but I think a lot of those folks didn't see what the Bengals did in Kansas City at the end of the season or against, I think it was in Cincinnati, against the Chiefs in Week 17. I give them a fighter's chance. I give them a puncher's chance to make this a game, and then if it comes down to a last possession with what Joe Burrow showed me, I do believe he could probably get the job done, but I do like the Chiefs. Where are you at?
Well, I really, really hope you're right, but I don't know. I'm skeptical. You know, that O-line got tore up by the Titans. Now they got Melvin Ingram, Frank Clark, and Chris Jones. It's going to be crazy loud there. Burrow takes some sacks that you just cannot take. And, you know, they beat the Titans because Tannehill threw 3 picks.
Right.
Mahomes isn't doing that. That's not happening. And they beat the Chiefs in the first meeting because Burrow killed them man-to-man coverage on the outside, especially to Chase, who had 2 70-yard touchdowns. Well, I would expect the Saints to have a lot more 2-deep safety coverage. They're not going to put their corners one-on-one on the outside. They know that Burrow will throw it if he gets man-to-man out there. I don't think they're going to let that happen. I don't see the big plays happening. I think it's like 30-20. Okay. The Chiefs win. I hope it's a close game. I'm going to be there, but I'm a little worried it could get away from them.
Yeah, I think you're right. And by the way, Burrow, I know the story that came out, it's like Paul Bunyan, Carl. Every day there's another Burrow angle. How cool was it that it kind of a throwback? The headset goes down. So we actually a quarterback calling plays like they used to in the old days, Ross.
Oh, man, and he loved it. And can you imagine? I would love it as well if I was in that situation. His confidence, his swagger, it really does rub off on the other guys. I think it's a big factor. Obviously, his performance is the most important, but just his presence has made all the other guys believe. And there's something to be said about that.
Ross Tucker, great job. Brought to you again by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop for more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. Ross Tucker, we'll talk soon, man. Enjoy the games.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Thanks, all right, bro. Man. Coming up, Hawks win. It's 5 in a row, and Lou Williams did something he hadn't done all season last night. We'll tell you about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, headlines are brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down, guys. They can help. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. We'll talk more about the Eberflus hire as well as what the Colts have done. And Dan Quinn says he's not taking a job. Now, I will tell you guys this. I tweeted out last week, or maybe it was earlier this week, that I thought Dan Quinn would be offered the Denver job. According to my sources, he was, Mike. But I said in that tweet, I don't know if he takes it. Apparently, he's not taking any job. So he's going to stay in Dallas as the DC. And for all the opportunity, we thought Dan Quinn might get another job this year. I said he had a choice. He's making good money there. Jerry likes him.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Sounded like the Giants were in play there for a minute, but he's been linked to basically every job. So we'll see, man. It's funny. We talked just now with Ross Tucker about, like, you know, it's not just Eric Bieniemy who goes from being a guy that had all the juice and then never got it. Brian Daboll was that guy last year. Remember we talked about it? I think it was Monday. The Chargers were hot and heavy, but he was making the run with the Bills. So they went with Staley, the DC from the Rams. So to me, I just think if you got a young quarterback, wouldn't Brian Daboll be the guy you'd want to work with? I mean, it's just because when you see the transformation, you and I thought that Josh Allen was like a meh when he came out of Wyoming because the, what was it, the completion percentage was always so low. And he just transformed, especially in his second and third year in the NFL, Carl. It took a huge leap. That'd be the dude that I'd want to be in business with to mentor a young quarterback.
Yeah, Josh has credited him about his improvement. And then, right. Mike, I think we talked about this. Josh did all these things, you know, these futuristic type
training methods and all that.
To improve his arm strength and accuracy and all this stuff. And it all paid off. Either way, I do agree with you. That's why I'm really shocked about the Bears hire. Now, it could work out, but I would have wanted the most, whoever you thought it was, the brightest offensive mind and best quarterback guru to come in and develop Justin Fields. You just traded to go get him. And I think that we can talk about the Bears and all their flaws. You got to get the quarterback better. And the only way you do that, man, is bring in somebody. So we'll see. But more in the Blitz coming up. Hey, let's hear about our Hawks guys because they win last night. By the way, Lou Williams hadn't attempted a dunk all season. And then Lou Williams went up and dunked.
And here comes Lou back. Lou right to the basket. And he jams. Oh, Lou Williams just stuffed one. Oh. Oh, I don't know if I've ever seen him stuff. 33-21, Hawks down by 12. Maybe that'll get them juiced up a little bit here.
He can stuff.
Yeah, man. No joke. And that kind of blew everybody away. As I joked around with Carl in the first segment, we always see those, shots at the sideline. The players, oh, yeah. Oh, no, he didn't. That was fun, man. When you got a guy doing his thing, it was on Danilo Gallinari going in backwards, man, with the reverse stuff. So they were having some fun. Now, we've joked around about when we've had some bad teams and teams clown us. I wonder how the Kings felt that we turned this thing into an and one video last night.
Lou Williams just stuffed one.
Yeah, I've never seen him stuff. Hey, Mike, they are terrible. That's a bad team right now. Don't be mad at us. I told you guys, I was watching the Boston game the other night. They were down 27-7 in the first quarter. I mean, hey, they're in a bad spot. Nobody's feeling sorry for us when we're dealing with injuries and getting blown out. Nope. But I know it did turn into an and-one. You're absolutely right.
And as Squidbilly says, sometimes the worst bet is the bet you don't make. Because, man, I'm kicking myself for not jumping on that with 2 feet last night.
Well, I told you in the text, guys, because I pay attention to these things, it was 7.5 yesterday. If you just got out on yesterday at, 11 o'clock in the afternoon or right before lunch. And then it went to 10, Mike, by the time we were off the air.
Yeah, it got the Dukes and Bell bounce because we kept talking about how De'Aaron Fox might be out. I know we moved the needle on this one. I'll take credit.
So, and then they blow him out. So, yeah, man. Either way, good win. Let's just keep it moving. Well, go vote on our poll question. It's up at Dukes and Bell 929. Hey, guys, Big Ben announces his retirement.
I don't know how to put into words what the game of football has meant to me and what a blessing it has been. While I know with confidence I have given my all to the game, I am overwhelmed with gratitude for all it has given me. A boy from Findlay, Ohio with NFL dreams, developed in Oxford at Miami University, blessed with the honor of 18 seasons as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
So, Mike, listen, we could probably spend 2 hours on this show chronicling all the ups and downs of Ben and his journey there in Pittsburgh. You've talked a lot about him overcoming the alleged sexual assault or whatever it was at the time. I mean, that was such a big deal for those who don't remember. And then he did. I mean, he was able to put that behind him, and I think he actually became a better quarterback. But he leaves the game as one of the all-time greats, two Super Bowls, and one of the most franchised teams in the history of sports and the Steelers. I think this is a pretty good damn career for Ben Roethlisberger, for a guy that when he came out of college, everybody's like, who did they draft?
Yeah, man. I mean, it is the cradle of coaches. They didn't know it was going to be the cradle of quarterbacks. But, yeah, man, coming from Miami of Ohio, did that video tribute. You can see it online where he thanks everybody and the organization. And it was a good fit, you know. And when you look, when you got stability at the quarterback, you know, that's when you have stability with the coaches as well. And from, you know, from Cowher to Tomlin, they just got to now really get this right. I know they've said all the things about Mason Rudolph. It's hard to wrap your head around that guy getting you somewhere. I don't buy that.
He's not the guy.
No.
You know what? I mean, if you feel like, and here's the crazy thing about this weekend, let's just say Jimmy G and the 49ers win and they go back to the Super Bowl. I still don't think he's going to be the quarterback next year. I mean, everybody just thinks that because he goes to the Super Bowl or if they win it, that you bring back Jimmy G, unless Trey Lance is just completely not ready. But we've seen him play. We've seen glimpses already. Here's my point. Trade for Jimmy G. Steelers, get a guy that you can win with right now. I think that might be a potential move, Mike. And we'll see. I mean, again, if he wins the Super Bowl, how much harder does it make for the 49ers to trade him away?
That's just it. I mean, but you got Trey Lance. You brought him in for a reason. You know, it was so funny. And you think about all the things that they could have done and added another offensive weapon. You know, Shannon always seems to make, you know, the best lemonade out of lemons when he doesn't have all the playmakers he needs. But, yeah, eventually Trey Lance is going to be the guy. But they're going to – I guess, what are they going to get at it? What are you going to get, a second-round pick for Garoppolo? You're not getting a first rounder.
No way. No, not a first.
Unless they're going to drive that bargain and somebody, you know, steps up and does it.
Well, remember when he was traded, and Chris, you can go back and check this for us. When he was traded from New England, what did the 49ers give up? And that package to me, if he was to win a Super Bowl, would be a very similar package as to what they would look to get in potentially trading him. It's Dukes and Bell. More NFL news coming up in our Blitz segment.
Ask and you shall receive. It was from NBC Sports. A 49ers got a second round pick in Halloween of 2017.
Okay. So that's the package, whatever that would include. Maybe a future first or a future, it's not a first, but a future pick along with that. Hey, Daniel Jones, speaking of believing in quarterbacks, do you believe in him?
No.
All right. Listen to what ownership of the New York Giants said.
I have a lot of hope in Daniel. I know how badly he wants it. I know how the players feel about him. So we are certainly not giving up on him.
That's the mayor guy, Mike. That's John.
Yeah. Fredo. Grew up a Giants fan as a child, full disclosure. No, I mean, Daniel Jones, you could look at the numbers. And I said this to you the other day. I got a bunch of Giants fans that I grew up with that are asking me about the GM and, you know, him saying he's committed to Daniel Jones. They got to obviously get things back on track with Saquon, turn Saquon Barkley back at least one more year of an audition for Saquon Barkley. But yeah, man, Daniel Jones, Carl, his numbers were the best his first year in the NFL in 2019. And then he went backwards by any measurable. Statistically, he did play. He's never played a full season of 16 games. He did have 24 touchdowns that first year. Remember, sort of the coming out party was the come from behind win against the Bucks a couple years back.
Yeah.
And then it's all been downhill since then. Of course, a lot of injuries and a bad offensive line.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from Joe Burrow, what he has to say about matching up with Kansas City again. Also, speaking of Jimmy G, what is he thinking about the fans that are going to travel to the game? Rams are trying to keep 49er fans out of the stadium this weekend. I don't think it's going to happen. It's coming up. NFL Blitz on the way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.